You're holy, Lord. You're holy, and we lift you up and magnify your name, Lord. You're holy, Lord. You're holy, and we lift you up and magnify your name.
As I look around and I see all the works your hands have made, the awesomeness of you and how your love will never fade, mere words cannot express what I feel inside. I can't describe your glory divine, but as a token of my love, this is what I'll do.
I lift my hands and cry, Lord, you're holy, Lord. You're holy, and we lift you up and magnify your name. Magnify your name.
There's not enough words that I can say to tell you how much I appreciate all the wonderful things you've done for me. Your loving kindness, your tender mercy.
It's my desire to praise you and tell you how much I love you. You're worthy of all the praise.
I don't know why Jesus loves me, but I'm so thankful for his mercy, because he suffered and died for me way back on Calvary.
I thank you. Glorious, holy and righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant and mighty, healer, deliverer, shield and defense, strong tower and my best friend, omnipotent, omnipresent, soon coming king, Alpha, Omega, Lord of everything. Present, soon coming King, Alpha, Omega, Lord of everything. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Wonderful, glorious, holy and righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant and mighty, healer, deliverer, shield and defense, strong tower and best friend, omnipotent, omnipresent, soon coming King, Alpha, Omega, Lord of everything. Holy, holy, holy is your name.
Oh. We have family, whether biological family or spiritual families. And today you're here because someone invited you, whether they it was a friend or a family member or an acquaintance. You're here because someone invited you that was familiar to you, or you might have been a total stranger. Let's consider a few things today about friends and about families. I don't know about you, but I want to be a good friend. How many of y'all want to be a good friend? Amen. You want to be a good friend? How many want to be a good family member? I know I want to be a good family member. I don't think there's anybody that would say, you know, I want to be a bad friend. I want to be a bad family member. I don't think that's there. Sometimes we may find ourselves being that, but I don't think that's what we set out to be. And so we're going to consider some things today about being a true friend and about being a true family member, and some things that we can glean from that, and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. You can leave here different than when you came in, saying, you know what, I'm going to be a better friend, and I'm going to be a better family member as we consider some things in the Word of God. Father, now speak to our hearts. Thank you for the men and the women and the children represented here today. Some are family. Some are friends, and some are just familiar with us that we have seen around town. And Lord, thank you that they were invited out today, and they found their way to the house of God. We pray now the word of God goes out, Lord, we might consider more about what a friend is and does, and what a family member is and does. And Lord, I pray that it might be a blessing and an encouragement to our hearts as we seek to be better in the capacity that we are. Well, the best thing that we could do today, if we do nothing at all, is to be born again. And so I do pray that if there is a man, a woman, a boy, or girl here, the best thing that is going to be in their favor is to be born again, to become a better friend, and to become a better family member. So speak loud and clear to our hearts, arrest our hearts and our minds to the truth of the Word of God, and pray that it might come across, Lord, with truth and with boldness, but with compassion. We might sense the Spirit's call on our lives. We might understand, Lord, what you would have us to do today as a friend and as a family member. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I pray that today would be a day that we make a decision to trust Christ a little better, a little more. And if we've never been born again, Lord, that man or woman or boy or girl will be born again before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for loving us. Now meet our need. Holy Spirit, take charge of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And we do have a special once again.
to your will, Lord, I'll say yes. Where you lead me, I will go. I'll say yes, Lord, I'll say.
Amen. I do hope that's your heart's desire today to say, yes, Lord, I want to be a better friend. Yes, Lord, I want to be a better family member. And I trust that God will work in your heart as well as in mine. You know, in preparation for this, I had a chance to be around friends and family as we went back home to New Jersey and back down to Decatur to see my folks. And most of my folks now have relocated from Illinois down to Atlanta. So every time we go back, I see my family, I see friends there, and we go back to New Jersey, we see the same thing. But then we have some friends down there as well that we had the opportunity of being stationed with in Belgium, where I got saved at. And every time we see them, you know, it's always a good time of fellowship and camaraderie. And I'm always reminded that I want to be a good friend. I want to be a good family member. You know, I see my mom and I still have to, you know, answer her respectfully and talk to her nice and kind and be kind to my sisters when we go back. I had three sisters and I was the only boy. And they will tell you that I'm spoiled. I will tell you that I'm not. If I'm spoiled in any way, it was spoiled to do more chores. That's the only way. They didn't have to dump the garbage cans, clean the toilets, any of the dirty work, take out the trash cans, shovel snow. They didn't have to do any of those things. And I had to do all those things. I cleaned up after the dogs. And, you know, I said, well, why can't they do it? And my answer was always, because they're ladies. Why can't they do it? They're young ladies. Why can't they do it? They're girls. Well, why do I have to do it? You need to be rough and tough. You're a boy. And I thought, man, I don't know about this. I think I'm getting a bum stick here. Amen. But my younger sister that was 7 years younger than me, I tried my hardest to turn her into a boy. And, you know, she was going to be a boy whether she liked it or not. You know. Didn't work. So, you know, but praise God, I tried my hardest. But every time I go back, I just miss my younger sister by one day. I left on Tuesday and she came on Wednesday. But I'm always excited to see my family and always excited to see my friends when I go about. We're in the midst of a series of messages called In Times Like These. The title of today's message is going to be, In Times Like These, We Need Friends, of Family, and Our Father. You say, preacher, what kind of times are we in? We're in troublesome times. Yeah. Our nation is in a disarray. ISIS is on the rampage. Amen. Christians are being slaughtered all around the world. Our laws are being changed right before our very eyes to allow things that God does not want to be a part of our society. And in times like these, it's easy to lose control. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose our faith. It's easy to lose confidence. Say, you know what? God, what's the use? The more I do, it seems like the worse things get. I give out the gospel. I talk to people. I love people. I try to do the best I can. It seems like it gets worse. My job gets worse. The school gets worse. My children get worse. My husband gets worse. My wife gets worse. Everybody gets worse. And you could almost say, you know what? I'll just be an island all to myself. That's not going to work either, because you're still on that island. And you sometimes can be your worst enemy. In times like these, we talked about we need to stay focused on Christ when the world distracts us. And we need to stay faithful in the Word of God when truth seems to evade us. We ain't gonna talk about this yet, but we are. Stay friendly toward others when hate surrounds us. You know, there's a lot of hating going on now. Amen. You look on the internet and folks are hating on everybody and everything except for what they ought to be. Stay fixed in church when people disappoint us. You know, somebody's going to always disappoint you. Stay firm in the faith when our doubt overwhelms us. The man with the possessed son said, help thou mine unbelief. Stay fit in our walk when life tries us. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We're going to be talking about stay consistently growing when complacency tempts us. We don't want to study anymore. Don't want to read anymore. Don't want to get into the Word of God. And we got to be consistently growing. Stay conscious of his coming when hope flees us. You know, it's bad, but you know what? When Christ comes, it's going to be all good for us. It's going to be bad for some other folks, though. Stay composed in our hearts when trials surround us. And so today, in times like these, we need friends and family. We need friends and family. We need people that we can go to that can encourage us. Our family should be able to encourage us. Our friends should be able to encourage us. You say, my friends don't encourage me. We better make sure they're not your friends, maybe. Amen. Times like these, I want to consider two basic thoughts. Number one, be a true friend. And then number two, be true to your family. Be a true friend and be true to your family. You know, there's nothing like a good old friend. Nothing like somebody that I can trust in, I can call on, I can look to. The Bible says here in Psalms or Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. You know, one of the things that we're going to talk about in times like these, stay constructive in our relationships when loyalty fails us. You know, you're going to have a friend maybe that's going to fail you. Maybe you're going to have someone that you trust in that fails you. You know what? You still should be a good friend. Maybe that person may not be a good friend, but that should have nothing to do with your character and your friendship. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. Note, it does not say a friend will never disappoint us at times. Can I get an amen? Does not say a friend will never disapprove of us at times. Can I get an amen? Because a true friend may disapprove of some things that you do if they're not right by God. Amen. Come on now. Y'all say, well, I want my friends to approve everything I do. Then you don't want a friend. What you want is a puppet. What you want is a parrot to agree with everything. You don't want a true friend because a true friend will tell you, hey, that's not right. A true friend will disapprove of some things. And they'll say, look, no, you ought not do that. You ought not wear that. You ought not go there. You ought not say that. You ought not be like that. Hey, you shouldn't do that. That's not pleasing to Almighty God. And that type of friend is hard to find. Friend in this passage means an associate that's more or less close, a companion or a fellow. Could be a lover, could be a neighbor. By the way, my best friend is my wife. And husbands, your best friend should be your wife. It shouldn't be the man that hangs out at the pool hall. It shouldn't be the man that hangs out at the racetrack. It shouldn't be the man that hangs out at the basketball. It should be your wife. And wives, vice versa for you. Your husband should be your best friend. Now, he may not be, but he should be. He should be. Why? That's the one you spend the most time with. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Times like these, be a true friend. Loveth means to have affection or to be beloved or to like someone. And then at all times means continually, so it speaks for itself. Family Bible Notes says loveth at all times could be in adversity as well as in prosperity. Matthew Henry put it this way, friends must be constant to each other at all times. It is not true friendship which is not constant. It will be so if it be sincere. Those that are fanciful or selfish in their friendship will love no longer than their humor is pleased and their interest is served. And therefore, their affections turn with the wind and change with the weather. Jesus is a friend that loves at all times. Amen. Most of us will have many acquaintances, but only a handful of true friends, if that many. My grandfather used to say this all the time, and I really didn't know what he meant when he said it. Love many, but trust few, and learn to paddle your own canoe. And I say, what in the world is that talking about? The older I got, the more truth that came. Love many, but trust a few. Learn to paddle your own canoe. Amen. Now, it ain't Bible, but it's good. True friends are those we can all count, we can call upon at all times, anytime, under any circumstances, and all circumstances. That type of friend is hard to find. And my friend, may I submit to you, is harder to be. Amen. You find a friend like that, you found a jewel. He said, what do friends do sometimes? Go over to Luke chapter 11 and show you what friends will do sometimes. Luke chapter 11, Jesus is giving an illustration about prayer. And notice what he says in Luke chapter number 11 about this friend and this relationship. He says, verse 5 of chapter 11, because he's teaching prayer. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a what? Friend. and shall go unto him at what time? Midnight. What am I saying? You should be able to call on him anytime, all times, under any circumstances, in all circumstances. And notice what happens here at midnight. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For what a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, notice first of all, he answered him at midnight. How many of y'all going to answer somebody at midnight? I don't care if you're a friend or not. I'm not going to answer, amen. You're not really a true friend. You should be able to answer, amen. But I'm asleep. And your point is, hey, when your friend needs you, anytime, all time, any circumstances, any conditions, even if the answer is no, at least you answered. Trouble me not, the door is down shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his what? Friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. He's persistent. And so he's going to give him what he needs. Why? Because he's his friend. What am I saying? A friend is someone I can call on at all times. A friend loveth at all times, whether it's night or whether it's day. This type is hard to find. True friend will love you at all times and continually. By the way, through good times and bad times, a friend will be there. Hey, you and I are going to see some hard times. Going to see some good times. They'll tell you the truth even when it hurts you. They'll tell you the truth even when it hurts them. They'll tell the truth when you need to hear it. They'll tell you the truth when you don't want to hear it. Can I get an amen? That's a friend. They'll tell it to you when you want to hear it. They'll tell it to you when you need it. They'll tell it to you when it hurts. They'll tell it when it hurts them as well. Nobody likes to hurt anybody. But a true friend considers the circumstance and says, you know what? I love you and I want the best for you. Paul had to say it this way, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Sometimes we say yes. Well, David had that type of friend. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 19. 1 Samuel chapter number 19, we're going to look at a friend that David had. His name was Jonathan. 1 Samuel chapter number 19, we're going to look at some things about this man, David, and his relationship with Jonathan. Because the first thing I want us to consider in this heading of, in times like these, be a true friend. Be a true friend through difficulties. David had this friend. Notice, pick it up in verse 1 with me. It says, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. So the scenario is this. King Saul is saying to his son, you know what? I want you to kill David. The fact of the matter is that David and Jonathan are friends. What are you going to do when somebody wants to harm your friend? Are you going to let them harm your friend? If he's truly your friend, you're not going to let him harm your friend. But what if that friend happens to be your father? And what if that friend happens to be the king? You find yourself in a big dilemma. David found a true friend in Jonathan through difficulties. He may not have done everything that he needed to do, but he did do this. He did save his life. He did protect his life. He did be a friend to him, and he knew where David was even when his dad didn't know where he was at. He's a friend. Notice verse 2, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. And therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see that I will tell thee of. A good friend is going to keep you informed of danger. It's going to keep you informed of harm. It's going to keep you informed of someone that's seeking to do you mischief, even if it means their own demise. You find that King Saul tried to kill his own son because of David. Are you ready to be that type of friend? Man, say, preacher, that's deep, but that's friendship. Being a true friend. David finds himself befriended by Jonathan, King Saul's son. However, he's going to have a difficult time being a friend here because he's going to have to make some hard choices. And Jonathan stands between life and death for David as his father, King Saul, seeks to kill him from envy and jealousy. You know, just because you're friends with someone, someone may have envy or jealousy towards that person. And you're going to have to stand up for him. And you're going to have to plead their cause and say, it's not what you think. It's not how you see it. It's not that way at all. You find the go-between here. In times like these, be a true friend. Maybe you've had to protect a friend from harm. I can remember when I was in grade school, I had a friend. When you're a little kid, though, you don't have friends. You have acquaintances. You have buddies. And he took the fall for me. You say, what happened? I hit a teacher with an orange peel. She was walking up the stairs, and for a joke, I said, watch. And I reared back and did my best pitching imitation and threw it up there and hoped it was going to whiz right by her ear. It hit her in the back of the head. And you talk about somebody that froze in their tracks after I dropped my hand and looked like an angel. She looked back and she saw me looking like an angel. She saw him looking like a devil. And she grabbed him by the ear and she took him outside. And I thought, he is going to tell on me for sure. And I'm going to get the spanking of my life. After it was all said and done, he came out looking like he had been torn apart. And I said, did you tell on me? He said, no, I didn't tell. I said, he's my friend. No, he should have ratted me out, amen. Because he got in trouble, amen. When you're small, that's the kind of friends you think you have. He didn't tell on me. He should have told on me because I was guilty. I would have denied it and lied, but he still should have told on me, amen. I thought that was a difficult situation, but it's nothing like what David and Jonathan find themselves in with their lives being on the line. Life in orange peeling is a big difference. Notice verse 4, Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father and said, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee. And because his works have been to thee word very good. He said, wait a minute, let me speak on David's behalf. A good friend, a true friend is going to speak good about you to others and not bad. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's speaking to the one that's trying to kill him. He said, look, let me speak. Has he done anything bad? Has he done anything wrong? Has he been a villain? Has he been a convict? What has he done? He's not done anything. See, a true friend will stick up for you. A true friend will stick up for you when others try to badmouth you. A true friend will stick up for your honor. A true friend will stick up for your character. A true friend will stand in the gap for you. That's a true friend. That's a true friend. Notice verse number 9. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation. For all Israel, thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul. What did he do? He's reconciling now. He said, look, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to speak good on your behalf. I'm going to mend this relationship, and I'm going to bring you back together. That's what good friends do. A good friend doesn't listen to that side, badmouth this one, then listen to that side, badmouth this one. A good friend says, let me get y'all together, and let's talk about this thing. That's a good friend. That's a good friend. Are you that type of a friend? Be a true friend through difficulties. David was. Life can bring challenges in our friendships, and friendships are hard, but we need to work our friendships and be a friend, a true friend through difficulties. Second of all, be a true friend through deception. Through deception. You say, oh, preacher, if they're going to deceive me, I don't want to be their friend. You may be the only one that stands between them and death. By the way, may I put to rest a misnomer? You don't have to be friends with somebody for them to be your friend. Let me say that again. You don't have to be friends with someone else for them to be your friend. They can be your friend without your knowledge at all. A friend loveth at all times. A friend is going to love someone and do for them and show to them. You say, preacher, I don't see how that's true. Go to Matthew chapter 26. I think you would all agree with me that Judas Iscariot was with the 12. I think you would all agree with me that Judas Iscariot was possessed of Satan when he did his deeds. I think you would all agree with me that Jesus knew this as well. But in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50, in the midst of deception, and it's not like Jesus didn't know what was going on, because he did. He said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. But notice what he says in verse 50 to Judas Iscariot. Verse 49 says, verse 48, let's go there. Go back to verse 47. Amen. We know what's going on. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him and gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! And kissed him. By the way, you never find Judas in Scripture calling Jesus Lord. Never. Never, ever, ever. Hail, Master! And kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, what's that word? Friend! Jesus was a true friend through deception. Judas thought he was doing something fabulous. He thought, you don't even know what's going on here. But Jesus said, I know exactly what's going on here. You're here to deceive me. You've got the devil in you. I've known it from the beginning. But this is all ordained of God and is all planned. And I'm still going to call you friend. Why? Because I'm going to love you at all times. I'm going to love you at all times. I'm going to love you until you perish. And after you perish, I still love you, but you will still have to pay judgment. But I still love you. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. That means that he loves us at all times. Now, your rejection of that love has nothing to do with him loving you. Judas's rejection of Jesus calling him friend has nothing to do with that. Because on Jesus' part, Jesus said, I am your friend and I'm going to love you at all times. That's a true friend. Through deception. Have you ever had a friend that deceived you? And you said, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Well, were you really the friend in the first place? I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying that. But some think you can only be friends to those who are friends with you. Jesus shows us this is not always true. I'm not saying set yourself up for failure. I'm not saying set yourself up for abuse. You've got to use godly discernment and wisdom. But Jesus knew exactly what was going on. And he said, friend, wherefore art thou come? What am I saying? Be a true friend through difficulties. Be a true friend through deception. Sometimes a friend can be deceived and be taken. Until the very end, Jesus remained true to Judas. Turn into your Bibles to John chapter 13. Notice what it said about the 12. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, notice that phrase, he loved them until what? The end. A friend loveth at all times. And Jesus loved his 12, and he loves you and I until the end. So what am I saying? First of all, when it comes to being a true friend, be true. Be a true friend through difficulties. Life's not going to always be easy. But then second of all, be true. A true friend through deception. Sometimes you might get deceived. Be true. Don't be foolish, but be true. Don't be foolish. In times like these, be a true friend. But then second of all, in times like these, be true to family. The Bible states a brother is born for adversity back there in Proverbs 14 and verse 14. I'm sorry, 17, 17. A brother is born for adversity. Brother means a literal relationship or metaphorically. Adversity means tightness, trouble, and adversary, affliction, anguish, distress. So in other words, the brother is going to be there for tough times. The brother is family. You say, I don't have family like that. Well, maybe your spiritual family. It's not always your biological family. By the way, some don't have biological family anymore. I know a man, he doesn't have a mother, he doesn't have a father, he doesn't know who his grandparents are, he doesn't have a sister, doesn't have a brother. He's just here. But you know what? When you get saved, you get a new family. You get a spiritual family. And so it's not always just your biological family, although that's what's meant here is a biological family. Geneva Bible Notes says this, so he is more than a friend, even a brother that helps in time of adversity. Adam Clark puts it this way, a brother, according to the ties and interests of blood, is born to support and comfort a brother in distress. John Wesley says this in regards to born for adversity. He was sent into the world that he might comfort and relieve his brother in adversity. I don't know about you, but if I've got something and my sister's needed, guess what? I'm going to try my best to give it to them. Now, I've had my family borrow money from me and ask me for things, and I've tried my best to help them out. And I have to believe that if I had to do the same thing, they would help me out. My sister is a gynecologist, OBGYN nurse, doctor. My other sister had some female health issues. And she said, well, I don't know how I'm going to get this work done. And then we prayed and prayed and prayed. And my sister, who's the OBGYN, she said, you know, I've got a contact for you. Why don't you call Dr. So-and-so and see if Dr. So-and-so can help you with this issue. So she called Dr. So-and-so. And Dr. So-and-so said, you know, I will gladly help your sister out. And I'll gladly do this surgery. And here's the best part. I'll do it for free. A $30,000 surgery he did for free. And she had to pay nothing. Nothing. Say, brothers born for adversity. Family's there in hard times when you need them. You can call upon them and they can be there. And they can say, hey, look, I can't help you, but I know who can. And she didn't expect to get it done for free. But guess what? It got done. She's looking for a doctor that could do it. My sister said, I know a doctor that does just that procedure. And as rare as it is, I'm going to ask him if he'll do it. And he said, I'll do it. Not only will I do it, I'll do it for free. Adversity. My sister had gotten so bad that people actually thought she was pregnant. Her belly had swollen that big with the issues going on. And she thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, people are saying that you look like you're pregnant. But guess what? Brothers born for adversity. And as a result, she helped him. I don't know about you, but our families may not all live for God. They may not all use the right Bible. They may not always use the right language or attend the right church or have the right habits or have the right doctrine or do all the right things. But guess what? There are families. Now, I had to go back home and witness some things that I didn't want to witness. Brothers arguing at the point where they're about ready to kill each other. Another nephew dressed in ladies' clothes saying he's a woman. Drugs and alcohol. But you know what? They're my family. They're my family, and they need Jesus. And I have Jesus. And I have the cure to their illness. My nephew wanted to go to church. My wife invited him out, and we went to church. And he dressed in ladies' clothes. He had on makeup. He had on a dress. He had on high heels. He had on spandex. He had on earrings. He told my children he was a woman. And I had to tell them he's not a woman, he's a man. And just seeing this boy, 19 years old, my heart broke because I saw inside there's a real person that's yearning for love, that wants to be accepted, that needs Jesus Christ, and it broke my heart. And he sat right next to me in church, dressed in ladies' clothes, with his purse. He sat right next to me. We went to Dunkin' Donuts afterwards, treated my kids out. He went right along with us. And when we walked in the door, everybody looked. And they thought, what kind of couple is this? A 50-year-old man in a tie with children, and his wife is 19 years old, and she's a transgender? What in the world is that? And they looked, and they stopped eating. And did we get some looks? But see, a brother's born for adversity. Brother's born. It's not going to always be easy with family. It's not going to always be an easy road with family. It's not going to always be what you desire it to be. They're not going to always do what you want them to do. But God placed you in that family for a reason. And my reason is to be a light that God has chosen me to be. My wife, my children chose us to be a light. I didn't pick the family. God picked it for me. I know some of y'all say, well, if I could be in somebody's family, I'd change my parenthood. I'd be in another family, not me. I love being a Dawson. I love being in my family. I love the people in my family. Now, I don't like what they do. Don't get me wrong. I don't like what they do. But I love my family, and I want what's best for them. Family is a place where God placed us, and whether it's immediate family, extended family, adopted family, or spiritual family, family is important to God. We see it all through the Bible, starting with Genesis and Adam and Eve. Family is often the first place we look to go, in good times and bad times. Sometimes it's the last resort we go to, but amen. But good family relationships allow us to the ability to go through adversity and do what the Bible says. A brother is born for adversity. However, it's a relationship that must be worked on. It does not come automatic. You're not going to have good family relationships if you don't work at it. Just like you're not going to have a good relationship with a husband and a wife if you don't work at it. Just like you're not going to have a good relationship with your children if you don't work at it. Every relationship takes work. Family relationships is no different. Say, preacher, what are you going to say about that? Be true to our families through disagreements. May I submit to you, you're not going to always agree with your family. I didn't agree with him wearing in ladies' clothes. Say, preacher, what else? Had on a bra too. I looked and I thought, now you didn't have those last time I was at home. That ain't real. My wife picked, said, no, what is this? A bra. I thought, hey, man. I just said, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Amen. Be true to family through disagreements. Genesis 37, I want to show you a family that has some disagreements. You know the family well. Joseph and his brothers is the family. Be true to our families through disagreements. Joseph shares with his family his dreams. They don't agree with his dreams, and they agree to kill him off because of his dreams. 37 of Genesis. Notice verse number 5. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? They disagreed. But you know what? We still need to be true to our family in times of disagreement. You know, some of us have unsaved family members that aren't saved that disagree with our Christian stand. And you know what? You still be a true family member. If you disagree, still love them. A brother's born for you. I still love you, even though you don't necessarily like what I do. We can agree to disagree. They disagree with him about this dream, but they agree about selling him into slavery, so they have no problems with that. My oldest sister disagreed with me and my other sister, and sometimes we did the same thing. We plotted to get her, and we said, let's pretend like we're talking about her. Yeah. Y'all know how you did it when you was kids. You ain't saying nothing. You're just going, hop, shop, shop, shop. I said, and the other one thinks you're talking about them. And so we agreed to get her. We was over there, hop, shop, shop. Mommy, they talking about me. My mother said, what did y'all say? I said, we just said, hop, shop, 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 shop. I said, we didn't talk about her. But you know, we agreed to get on her nerves. So siblings can agree to disagree. They agreed to put him in a pit and sell him into slavery. We may not always agree with our families. However, we should still love our families, even if it comes to agreeing to disagree. But only disagreements may happen. Disappointments may happen. They did sell him into slavery. Years later, they met up with him down in Egypt. And you know, you and I may have tried to take the upper hand on that situation, but not Joseph. Even though they disagreed, he still loved them through disagreements. And though they disappointed him, he still loved them through disappointments. Go back over to Genesis chapter 45, fast forward a little bit. Because your family is going to disagree with you at times, and sometimes your family is going to disappoint you. But when that happens, do what Joseph did. Although Joseph may have been disappointed previously at the treatment his brothers gave him, he was still true to his family through those disappointments. Notice verse number 5 in Genesis 45. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He said, I know you did this, and I disagreed with it when you did it, and I was disappointed in what you did, but it wasn't you. It was God who allowed it to happen. Praise God. He says, verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He said, you had really nothing to do with this. You were just a pawn used for God. So what Joseph said, I'm going to be true to my family through disagreements. I didn't agree with what you did. I'm going to be true through disappointments. I didn't understand what you did, and I was disappointed. But guess what? It wasn't you. It was God. They saw the handwriting on the wall. God did this. Verse 8 goes on to say, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Come over to chapter number 50. In verse 15, because Joseph is true through the disappointments and true through the disagreements. But then chapter 50, his dad dies. And they think that because dad dies, that was the only thing saving him. He was putting on a front. He really wasn't true. He's just waiting till dad's out of here and he's going to get us. You know how it is. Mom and dad's gone and you left with big sister or big brother. And you think, uh-oh. I'm going to get it now. I always knew I was going to get it when my dad and mom were gone because I was the only boy. And so it was going to be 3-1. And I somehow conspired with my sister that's next to my oldest sister to be on my side. And so then it was 2-2. And then I got my younger sister, 7 years younger than I, to be on my side. Then it was 3-1. And guess who won then? My older sister, because she was the oldest. She told on us. So we still didn't win, even though it was 3-1. Let that be a lesson to you. Amen. Notice chapter 50 and verse 15. They think that he's going to get them. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now, they had every reason to. They disagreed with him on the dreams. And they put him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He was disappointed with them. He had every reason to. But you know what? He loved them anyway through the disagreements and the disappointments. They sent a messenger, verse 16, unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, and for they did unto thee evil. Now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Joseph wept when they spake unto him, why he loved him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Now they had adversity. A brother loves in adversity. A brother's born through adversity. They had adversity. Verse number 19, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. He said, you disagreed with me and you disappointed me. He said, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And so through the disappointment, through the disagreement, Joseph was true to his family. Through the disappointments, through the disagreements, through all the adversity, he was true to his family. And I encourage you today, your family may not always agree with you. They may disappoint you. They may not be what you think they ought to be. But you ought to love them because God put you there. And that's the family that God chose to give you. May I go one step further and say the same in your spiritual family? When you join a church, you join a body. And you should be faithful through disagreements and through disappointments. Still be faithful. Still be true. Still be loving. Still be kind. Still love through disappointments, through disagreements, through the biological family, through the spiritual family as well. Why? Disappointments are going to happen. Disagreements will always happen. Why? Because no two people think alike on everything. Well, we see a brother is born for adversity. In times like these, be true to family. In times like these, be a true friend. But I want to leave you with one final thought. You cannot be the friend that you need to be. And you cannot be what you need to be for your family unless you're true with the Father. You've got to have a right relationship with God Almighty. You must be born again. Then and only then can you be the friend that you need to be and be the family member that you need to be. A relationship with friends is great because they love us. A relationship with our families in adversity is great because they're blood and they can help us. But a relationship with God as Father is life and death. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So to have the relationship with the Father, to be the friend, and to be the family member you need to be, you've got to get to the Father. But you can't get to the Father without getting to the Son. And his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said in John 6:65, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So God actually puts it in our hearts to come. God actually puts it in our hearts to want to be born again, to want to be in the family of God, to want to be right with him. Praise God for that. Jesus said it this way, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus is the friend of sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If I'm going to be true with the Father, I'm going to be true by being born again. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus answered in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, I shared the same thing with my nephew. I didn't attack his lifestyle. I didn't attack the fact that he wore women's clothes. I didn't attack the fact that he had on makeup. I didn't attack the fact that he had on a dress. I didn't attack the fact that last time I was here, he was not dressed like that. I didn't attack any of those things. You know what I attacked? His relationship with the Father. Amen. Except the man be born again, he cannot see him. I don't care what you are or what you do. You're in the same boat as everybody else. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those same sins is death. I don't care if you're transgender. I don't care if you're a thief. I don't care if you're a homo. I don't care if you don't think you're guilty of any of those. You're guilty of one, and that's being a sinner. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus said, I'm the friend of sinners. He said, come unto me, and I'll give you life. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Be true with the Father by being born again. And so my encouragement to you today is be the friend that you need to be. Be the family member that you need to be by being first with the Father in salvation. Have you been born again today, sir? Have you been born again today, ma'am? Young person, have you been born again today? I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm not talking about being a good friend or a good family. I'm talking about being born again. Having the life from above given to you through Jesus Christ, through the repentance of your sins, by turning from your sin, which will cause you to go to a place called hell. And a loving God does not want you to go to that place called hell because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave. Man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, except ye abide in me. No man, no more abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I don't know about you, but I want to be the best friend that I can be. Through difficulties, through disappointments, through deception, through discouragements. But I also want to be the best family member I can be. Through the same difficulties, through the same deceptions, through the same disappointments, through the same disagreements. I want to be the best family member I can be. And I have to come to the conclusion I can only be that way if God gives me the ability to be that way. And that's going to come through the birth of being born again. I don't know who you are today or what your need is today, but you cannot be the friend or the family member that you need to be without being born again. That's where it all starts. I encourage you today, if you're not born again, during the invitation, would you come? Let us take a Bible, show you how you can be saved today. Won't cost you but a few minutes of your time. And we'll show you in the Word of God. You can be the best family member and the best friend that God wants you to be. But first, you've got to do business with the Father. You need His Son, Jesus Christ. He died for you. He was buried for you. And He loves you. And you can be saved today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. All across the auditorium, Christians are praying. Let me ask you some questions in your mind and your heart. And in your mind and your heart, do you want to be the best friend that you can be? And I'm sure the answer would be yes. The second question would be, do you want to be the best family member that you could be? And I think the answer would be an obvious yes. So then I have to ask you the third question. Are you in the family of God as Jesus Christ, as God Almighty, your Father? Have you been born again? Not have you been baptized. Not have you joined a church. Not have you turned over a new leaf. But have you repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again? If you haven't done that today, I want to pray for you. With every head here bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've never been born again. I want to be the best family member and the best friend I can be, but I've got to be honest, I don't think I'm born again. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all across this auditorium, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you'd raise that hand and you can put it right back down. I'll acknowledge it. Raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it. Amen. I see one. You may put it down. Is there another? You'd raise your hand saying, I've never been born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me, pastor? Raise that hand. You can put it right back down. I'll acknowledge it. Man, woman, boy, or girl all across this room. I want to be the best friend I can be, the best family member, but I'm not sure that God is my Father. I'm not sure that I've been saved. I'm not sure if I'm born again. Anyone else join this one? Raise that hand. Amen. If you do want to be born again, to be the best family member and the best friend you can be, let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Say, preacher, what's the consequence of not being born again? There's a place called hell, which was created for the devil and his angels in the lake of fire, but that's not what God wanted for you. God wants heaven for you, but you must be born again. Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, I know many in this room want to be the best friend, the best family member that they can be. But Lord, we can't do it without you, without the Word of God, without the guidance from the Scriptures. And God, I pray that you would help us today as we see a friend loves at all times. Help us to be true friends. And Lord, a brother's born for adversity. Lord, help us to be true to our family. Through disagreements and through disappointments, help us to be true like Joseph. Help us to be true like you were to Judas Iscariot. Help us to recognize what people need is Jesus Christ. And they need us to be true. And Lord, work in our midst and work in our hearts like only you can work today. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for meeting our need. Lord, be with the one that raised their hand saying they need to be saved today. They need to be born again. Lord, speak to that heart. And any others that didn't raise their hand, Lord, speak to them as well. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed. The altar is open. You can come and pray if you would like and lay your petitions at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the music begins to play, maybe God spoke in your heart about a family member. Maybe God spoke in your heart about a friend. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Lift up that friend. Lift up that family member to the Lord. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, you know, Lord, I need to be a better friend. I need to be better through difficulties. I need to be better through these times of deception and difficulties in my life. Maybe you say, I need to be a better family member. Through disagreements, disappointments, difficulties, deceptions, I've got to be better as a family member. I've got to be better as a friend. Maybe you say, I need to have a relationship with the Father. I've never been born again. I need to be saved. Would you come? Would you come? The altar is open. Say, preacher, I don't need prayer for myself. Maybe you've got someone in your family like I've got in my family. They may not dress in women's clothes, but they may be doing things that you know aren't right by God. I may need to come and pray for them. Say, Lord, I'm going to be a true friend to them, a true family member to them. I'm going to give the gospel to them. I'm going to love them. I'm not going to judge them. I'm just going to love them and give the gospel. about you, but I had to do the same thing. I had to pray. The Lord, give me what I need to be the friend and the family member that I need to be. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born. Adversity. In times like these, be a true friend. Times like these, be true to family. Whether it's biological family, whether it's your spiritual family, be true. Be true. Our Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for, Lord, being the one who is our friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you for being our Father, the one that puts us in your family, and being the friend of friends. And God, I pray that you would enable us now to leave here when difficulties arise and when disappointments arise, when discouragements arise, disagreements arise. And yes, Lord, even disappointments arise between us and friends and families. Help us go to you, our Father in heaven, and get the encouragement that we need. That we may be those that will love at all times and those that will stick closer than a brother through adversity. Thank you for these that have come to an old-fashioned altar. And Lord, the petitions that they laid at your feet, I pray that you would grant them in the will of God. And Lord, you would minister to us in a marvelous and miraculous way. Thanks for our friends that are here, our family that are here, and our guests that are here today. Lord, may you be glorified in everything that we think, say, and do. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.